All right. In Matthew 21, starting at verse 21, Jesus answered and said unto them, verily, I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if you shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. Verse 22. And all things. Everybody say all things.
All things.
And I got that underlined in my Bible. And all things. Whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. All things. Whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing. Now, underline believing. What he says, ye shall receive. All right, now go to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9 was teaching from this subject of how to eliminate doubt and unbelief. Because if I have faith and doubt not, the Bible tells me some awesome things can happen. And so I want to know how to eliminate this whole element of doubt from my life and unbelief. We've talked about how dangerous doubt is. I can get some results having faith in my heart and doubt in my head. But doubt in my head is dangerous because the longer it lingers there, the more it has the potential to persuade me to a point of unbelief. Doubt is simply saying, I just don't know how God's going to do it. I don't know how he's going to pull it off. I don't know. And there are times we just don't know. Or doubt is saying, I don't know if it's the will of God or not. And so we can see in the Bible that when people had doubt, they worked out of doubt into a place of faith. So doubt, the Bible says, don't doubt in my heart. That's the core of my being. That's the place where I'm persuaded into unbelief. Unbelief is an intentional act of choosing not to believe God, choosing to go against what God says, choosing then to go against the possibility of something happening outside of your doubt. Verse 23, Mark chapter 9, verse 23. Now, I need you to be spiritually sensitive tonight because I'm going to say some things that I've said before. I know I have, but I'm going to say them in a way, and I believe the Spirit of God's going to breathe on it so you get something fresh from it. Watch this, verse 23. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe all things. Oh, that word is again. That thing has jumped up again. All things. All things are possible to him that what?
Believeth.
All things are possible to him that who? That what?
Believeth.
And so we just found out in Matthew 21, he says, that whatever I ask in faith, all things that I ask in prayer, believing, he says, I'll receive. Now, here he talks again about all things. Everybody say all things. Now, I'm really parking by this all things because we've reduced the all things to some things. And our thinking and our approach to God, we've reduced it to some things. But he says what?
All things.
Now, last week we found out, as we studied doubt and unbelief, we found out that really the remedy for doubt and unbelief is the Word of God. When Jesus was in his hometown and there was unbelief there, and he could do no mighty works, the Bible says, the next scripture after that says, and then he went round about teaching. So teaching is a way to persuade the heart with the Word of God. It's a way to persuade the heart with the Word of God. And, of course, doubt is the lack of information. So if I've got information from teaching, information from teaching the Word of God, we remove doubt and unbelief. So what you're here doing tonight is ideal. It's excellent. But it has to be more than this. You need to get in the Word and stay in the Word. Now, what I mean by that, we've got to have a constant flow of the Word in our hearts. Because that is what's going to put you in a place of believing. And once you're in a place of believing, God puts his name on the line, his word on the line, and says all things. Possibilities for you is not limited by the folk you know. It is not limited by what others have done. Possibilities for you is simply, now here's some music or something. Is that, I hear some music or something. Yeah. Y'all do too? Okay. Maybe y'all phone ringing or something like that. Y'all check it out. Check it out. Check it out. Y'all think it's in the system? I don't think it's in the system because I don't hear it over here. Y'all don't hear it over here? No, that's not in the system. Somebody got some instrument. All right, let's get back on this. What's possible for me is solely based on my capacity to believe. If I can believe it, it becomes possible for me. This is the way you break out of the crowd. This is the way you break beyond and you get liberated beyond, you know, the statistics, the stereotypes, and all of that is by your capacity to believe. Scripture says it. If thou canst believe. Now, I caught this years ago in the 80s. That if I could believe it, then it would become possible for me. I caught it. I caught it, everybody say, with his broke self. Yeah, I caught it when I was broke. I caught it when I had no members. I caught it when I had big dreams, but no manifestation. I caught it, and I had hope only because I could see it in the Bible that it was my believing that would make things possible for me. Amen. And so, as I was in prayer today, God said, my people are in a survival mode. You're believing to survive. And I got to get you out of believing for survival into believing for to expand and have surplus. Amen, amen. All right. Now, we looked at another story last week in closing, the leper. For the leper had a legitimate doubt. Nobody had been healed of leprosy. And the Bible says that's in the, was in Luke chapter 1. Was that in? Yeah, Mark chapter 1. And he said, Lord, if you will, heal me. You know, in other words, is it your will to heal lepers? Heal all these other folk. And the Bible says Jesus touched him. And then he spoke unto him saying, I will, be thou healed. And then the scripture says, and immediately after he'd spoken. So it wasn't the touch that healed him. It was the knowing that it was the will of God. When Jesus says, I will, his faith rose. So the constant flow of information drives out doubt. Amen. All right. Then we close with Abraham. Abraham's the father of faith. So much we can learn from Abraham. That what God did with Abraham to saturate his heart with faith, because even though God made a promise, the promise could not come to pass apart from Abram's faith. So what God does with Abram is this. He changes his name from Abram to Abraham. And most people look at that and go, well, why would he do that? He did that so that he could force Abram into saturating his heart with faith. Amen. With a word from God. God, Abraham meant father of nations. That was the promise. So every time he said his name or somebody said, called him, they were speaking the word over him. So that means like, that means if you and I are going to go anywhere beyond the stereotypes and statistics and standards, we're going to have to speak God's word. Amen. I got one member who walks up to me every time he sees me and says, how's the pastor of 50,000 members doing? Got it. He walks up and then I respond, I'm doing wonderful. I'm doing wonderful. What are you doing? He's speaking the word over me. Yeah. Look at the person next to you and say, how is this prosperous woman or man of God, as the case may be? How are you doing? Now, I know you think it's kind of comical, but I'm real serious about this. Because God told me I got to bring the body of Christ back to where we were. There was a time when we first got the word early that we were passionate about confession. And along the way, of course, things were so good, we just kind of coasted a bit. But we've got to go to the next level. We got to get back on it. Get back on listening to the word and get back on the confessing the word. Everybody say with passion. All right. Now tonight, everybody say tonight. tonight. I want to show you, I'm going to talk to you about what the Lord showed me years ago when I was broke, busted, disgusted, all that kind of stuff. I really was, and I began to study faith, and I found something awesome in here. I found out that my capacity to believe was going to determine what my future was going to be. Oh, Jesus. No, my capacity to believe. Now, I had all these visions. I had great dreams. But their fulfillment rested in my capacity to believe it. Just like Abram. Abram had a big vision. God gave it to him. Told him, I'm going to give you a seed in your old age. Now, in the natural, that was impossible. Mm-hmm. How do you go from that to the manifestation and becoming a great nation? Well, it took him probably 25 years to get there. Because God, even though he promised it and wanted it to come to pass, he could not do it apart from his faith. And you must understand that there are things, did God tell anybody anything? Y'all, have y'all got any dreams, visions, that sort of thing? Yeah. Now, it can only come to pass relative to the development of your faith. And, you know, I talk to a lot of people who have dreams and visions and that sort of thing. The Lord told me, Lord told me, Lord told me. I ain't got no problem with the Lord told you. But whether it's going to come to pass, it's really not up to him. It's really up to you. It's the development of your faith, the expansion of your faith that's important. Now, go to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, because we need to know, since believing is the focus of tonight, we need to know some things about the dynamics of believing. Everybody say the dynamics of believing. Yeah, because we got to get out of us just barely making it mode and barely getting by mode and sustaining mode. We got to get into a mode of expansion. Oh, some of y'all going to hear me. I hope you do. I hope you hear me. See, most people don't understand. You plan, you get in faith for expansion in the tough time. See, most people do this. They wait until times get better before they start talking about expanding. But by the time things do get better, and they always do economically, we're on a cycle, then you start planning where you're already behind. It's better to start now when things are bad. Now, where you get that from? See, the Lord told me that years ago when things got real bad. He told me, okay, son, I want you to expand. And I went, huh? Because I mean, I'm not used to that. He said, no, I want you to expand. In other words, he told me when things were bad that I was supposed to start expanding. That's how we bought the property here. We started negotiating for this property here. I think it was up in the millions. But when times were tough, we bought it for $344,401. So see, right now, a lot of you got your dreams on hold. You got your vision on hold. I got to get you to get it off a hold, get to working on it now. When things break, your faith is going to be so far ahead, you're going to be able to see what others don't see. You're going to be able to accelerate. Amen, amen. So Romans chapter 10, verse 10, Romans 10, 10. Now, we know we're Romans 10, 9. That's about salvation, right? All right, watch this, because I want to build on this real quickly. Romans 10 and verse 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thine heart God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, watch this, verse 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. With the heart man believeth. Believing takes place where, class? Where? In the heart. Believing takes place. Biblical believing takes place in the heart by a persuaded will. My will persuades my heart to believe. And I'm in total control of what I choose to believe or not. That's why I never talk anybody out of what they tell me that they believe in. I ain't going to talk you out of it because it's not up to me. And I'm not going to be one to talk you out of it. I'm telling you, if you will establish, the Bible says, if thou canst believe it, all things are possible to him that believe it. All right. Now, so believing makes things possible. Believing takes place in the heart. Believing is a matter of my will. Go to John chapter 20. It's a matter of my will. Believing takes place in the heart. Watch this. Believing is a matter of my will. The criteria that I set to believe can limit me or liberate me. I'm in total control of this whole dynamic. That how I choose to believe. This, we're at the story of Thomas now. Everybody call him Doubting Thomas, but really, when you look at the whole point here, the word, you know, the doubt ain't nowhere in here. Verse 24, but Thomas, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we've seen the Lord. He said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger to the print of the nails and thrust my hand to his side, I will not believe. So Thomas said, I already made my mind up. I'm not going to believe it. You know, I know he said it, but I don't believe it. I know he said it's going to rise, but I will not believe. Now, you ought to underline will not believe, because you control the believing. You control that. All right, watch this. Now, 3 days again, his disciples were within, Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger. Behold my hand, reach hither thy hand, thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. Now, Thomas had set a criteria. The criteria he set was this. Except I examine him, I will not believe. He set that criteria. He said it. They gave the testimony. Jesus already said he's going to rise again during his teachings. But then Thomas set a different standard. He said, no. Unless I can examine him, I will not believe. Amen. He set the criteria. Then Jesus comes, fortunate for Thomas. Otherwise, he'd been messed up. Because with that criteria, Jesus had not showed up. He would never believe the resurrection. Then Jesus shows up and says, okay, Thomas, examine me. Then once Thomas examines him, let's pick it up there. So his criteria is met. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord, my God. And Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Now watch this. Blessed are they that have not seen. Now the word seen is dynamic. Has more to do with sense realm evidence than it does with just visual perception. Blessed are those who don't have sense realm evidence, who have not set that criteria where they have to have physical proof in order to believe. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. When I set unrealistic parameters or criteria for believing, I put myself in a position where I could cripple my faith. All right? Here's this. Yeah. I believe it's possible for my dream to come to pass if Pastor helps me. So you set the criteria. Now, because I don't have a witness to help you, now you are totally crippled because you set the criteria that it wasn't going to work unless I helped you. God told me this. If you will not count the folk, you won't be limited to the folk you count. So in the early days, I could do great things in ministry because I wasn't counting folk. Because the criteria for my success was not numbers. Y'all got to get it. I'm telling you. See? And so we in our minds always set these criteria that limit us. That I can do this if my job gives me a raise. So now you put everything based on the criteria you have now set is now in the hands of those of the people that you're working for. You set that. See, and so in setting that, You limited what God could do. Here's a good thing. Once a criteria is set, it does not mean it's permanent. Because you can reset the criteria. So that's what Jesus was telling Thomas. Thomas, listen, you know, I met this criteria for you. But listen, blessed are those who don't set foolish criteria like you've set. Amen. And so when it comes to taking limits off of God, as it were, or not limiting God, it comes to the point where we choose to believe that God already knows what he's going to do. And like we used to say in the Baptist church, any way you bless me, I'll be satisfied. Amen, amen. So I'm not going to put restrictions on God. I'm not going to put restrictions on how I believe. Amen. That's why, you know, I said years ago, you know, God bless me when he wants to. He can send it by members. He can send it by airplane. Send it by a dog walk through the door with money in his hands. I'll find it. It don't matter to me. Amen, amen, amen. Now. So, in the Bible, we see people had certain criteria. The woman said, if I can touch the hem of his garments. You got it? So the touch was her criteria. You right? All right? The centurion told Jesus. He says, I'll go home and heal your servant. No, Jesus, you don't do that. You just say the word. It's all right. Yeah. The criteria that you establish really affects the manifestation. So when you say, I'm going to do thus and so when things get better, death and life is in the power of your tongue, you have just limited your life to what's going to happen when things get better. So you're waiting on them to tell you things are better. Now you can move ahead. Amen. So here I am. Everybody say years ago. Here I am years ago. And I pretty much got this faith thing down. I got this confession thing down. I got that together, you know. I understand my tongue is the pen of a ready writer, you understand? So I got the believing down. I know how to believe, you understand? And at the level I was, and I knew how to confess the word of God. I understood that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So when I say the word of God, it's like a seed getting planted down in my heart, you understand? And when I do it enough and do it enough and do it enough and do it enough, do it enough, then my heart is persuaded. And then out of the abundance of a persuaded heart, my mouth is speaking. So I could always tell where I was in faith by listening to what I'm saying. Amen. Amen. I could tell where I was in faith. I could tell where other people were in faith by listening to what they're saying. And then it's like I was stagnant. I got like, you know, you kind of hit a dry spell, dry place. I still had dreams, but I was at this dry place. And the Bible says if you hunger and thirst for righteousness, you'll be filled. And that's when God one day visited me and began to talk to me and show me some things. Now go with your Bibles now to Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6. Because the expanding of your belief system is also under your control. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. The expansion of your belief system is under your control. I'm so happy I see so many young folk in here tonight because, my God, I know if I had gotten this lesson and understood it years ago, maybe when I was young, and capitalized on it, my Lord, no telling where I'd be. Now, I'm thankful for where I am right now, you understand? But no telling where I would have been, you understand, had I understood this principle I'm going to share with you. And we can see in the Bible that my believing is affected by I'm going to give you my alliterations now. By exhortation, me hearing. Faith comes by what?
Hearing.
And hearing by what?
Word.
So watch this. There must be faith in the word. I could not get faith from the word if there was no faith in the word. So for faith to come by hearing, the word of God must have faith in it.
Yes.
So if I need faith for something, I'll find that faith in the word. And that faith comes by hearing. Who hearing? Me hearing.
Yes.
Now, I can hear it from my own mouth. But faith comes by what?
Hearing.
So that's exhortation. Faith also, or believing, is also affected by evidence. Everybody say evidence. Now that's what happened with Thomas. Thomas said, "I need evidence." So his believing was affected by evidence. So that means my faith can be, and my believing can be affected by, number one, exhortation, somebody talking to me. It can be affected, number two, by evidence, me seeing the evidence of something that I thought was not possible. I see it possible. I'm persuaded now it can happen. Okay, see, y'all get, like I get slow and I have to back up, see. All right, watch this. There was one time everybody believed that there would never be a black president for the United States. Never. Now after President Obama, we're going to go, "Oh, I believe that's possible now. I believe that's possible. I believe black man. I believe that." Why? We got some?
Evidence.
Oh, y'all didn't get it, but I got to move on. Evidence. All right. Watch this. My believing is affected by my confession, or for this alliteration, my expressions. By what I express, what I say out of my mouth. But then God took me to this one, that my believing is affected by my exposure. Everybody said my exposure. Yeah, my exposure. And he began to show me some things in the Bible that I saw differently. So that I had read before, but I saw them differently. All right, Joshua chapter 6. Are you there? All right, now look at verse 1. Joshua 6 and 1. It says, "Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua," it looks like they're at a kind of standoff, you know, a stagnant place. "And the Lord said to Joshua," watch this, "see, I have given into thine hand Jericho." See, I've given it to you. Everybody say see.
See,
yeah, see, I've given into thy hand Jericho and the king thereof and all and the men and the mighty men of valor. Now, this is before he has ever done anything. God said, "See it." All right, watch this. Now, go back to Genesis and let's see if we can let Father Abraham show us God teaching him this same principle. Go to Genesis chapter 15 first. Chapter 15. In Genesis chapter 15, verse 2, "And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be." What's going on here? Abraham is stuck. He's in a stuck place. He's in a stagnant place. And he's really talking to God, saying, "God, I thought you told me you're going to do thus and so. God, how come it hadn't happened yet? And really, God, if I die, my servant is going to be my heir. And you told me I was going to have a promised seed." And he said, "God, I'm childless." He saw himself childless. Now, your believing is affected by what you see. Yeah. Your eye gate has an inroad into your heart. And so what you see is important. Now, as long as he saw himself childless, he would be stagnant and could not move where God wanted to take him. So what God has to do is to get him to see something different. So he takes him out and has him have him look at the stars and said, "Now, Abraham, count the stars. And imagine, as it were, a face of a child on every star. So shall thy seed be." Okay. All right, watch this. Look at verse 6. Because something happened to him after he changed what he saw. Everybody say you got to change what you see. Oh, my God. Watch this. And the scripture says, And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for what? Oh, okay. Now watch this. So Abraham, before he starts looking at the stars and seeing multitudes and understanding multitudes and seeing himself the father of multitudes, before that he's stuck. But then after he sees the multitude and counts the stars and understands that's how many children I'm going to have, then the Bible says something happened. Believing took place. All right, go back to chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13. All right, Genesis chapter 13. Watch this. Verse 14. And the Lord said unto Abraham, after that Lot was separated from him, lift now up thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. My glory. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed be also numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the land, in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. Now, when you read that, you probably don't see much. But let me tell you what's going on. God exposed him to what it was going to be like after he was in possession of the land. Point I'm trying to get you to see is, for you to get to the next level and out of the rut you're in, you've got to begin to aggressively plan for better. And see yourself with better right now. Yeah, amen. Oh, glory to God. Jeremiah chapter 1. Go there, Jeremiah chapter 1. This whole point is all through the Bible. All through the Bible. I got to see myself there before I get there. Because my believing is going to be affected by this process. So how do you go from the ghetto to mega church? Amen. How do you go from my little car I bought me years ago? I wanted a vinyl top. Come on, Bishop. And couldn't afford a vinyl top, so I put one on there myself. Go from vinyl stick on paper. You know, the stick on paper you buy, put on your,
yes, sir.
On your. Yeah, that contact paper you put on the counters and that sort of thing. Don't laugh at me. Don't laugh at me. That's all right. I can handle it. I'm good. Yeah, that's what I bought. I had my car and I bought me some paper and I put it on there myself. She said, that's creativity. I said, that's cheap. Amen. How you go from that to flying helicopters by day and jets by night? How do you go from that? How do you go from that? How do you get from there to where the Lord's blessed me now? All happened that day when he talked to me. Now this book, Mental Toughness, is a product of it. If you don't have mental toughness, you need to buy it. I mean, this is a book. You need to buy it. I mean, I think it's you ought to get all your kids to read this book. Teenagers going somewhere, you ought to read this book. This is the book, the revelation that God gave me that I'm teaching you tonight. I'm going to teach it to you. After God gave me the revelation, he told me, do not publish this book until I had proof. So I wrote the book right away, but I held it for years until the principle worked. Now. Jeremiah chapter 1. Everybody say, I got to see myself. Yeah, I got to see myself there. And so what God taught me then is the same principles I use today to get from one level to the next. Now, I know many of y'all have heard me teach this. Don't tune me out. The Spirit of God is going to speak to you in a different way. All right? Now, watch this. All right, this is Jeremiah. And Jeremiah is having this conversation, as it were, with the Lord. And Let's pick it up there in verse 4. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Behold, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, O Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not that I am a child, for thou shalt go into all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand, touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, Behold, I put my words in thy mouth. And watch, look at this next verse now. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over kingdoms to root out, to pull down, and to destroy, to throw down, to build, and to plant. Wait a minute. I mean, he's just talking about his calling. And he said, I want you to see yourself where you're going to be down the road. Now, I was staggering at that time. I had a little raggedy church. You could put the whole church probably on the stage. And God has spoke to me the things that you see me doing right now. You know, God has spoken to us. The things I'm doing right now. Some of the things that has come to pass over the years. You know, people who've known me for a long period of time. I'm talking about back in those days can say he said it. But there I was now. I'm in a stagnant place. And then God began to talk to me about how to see myself in my future. And there's a process that's in the scripture. And when you do it, it expands your capacity to believe. And when you can believe it, it becomes possible for you. I want you to stay with me now. But you got to put the work in to make it happen. And you got to want it. Everybody say you got to want it. See, and that's where it is. See, most folk want somebody to just lay hands on them, slap some grease on them, and some oil on them, and then I wake up prosperous. That ain't going to happen. That's not the way it is. It's work to do what I'm telling you to do, but I'm here as the visible evidence and proof that if you will do it, it'll take you to new levels. It is what meditation is all about. Meditation is God's plan for you to create your own Holy Ghost commercial so you can see yourself in your future and play it day and night, 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 over and over and over and over until it expands your capacity to believe. Then it becomes possible for you. And what we don't do in tough times is we fail to dream. We get so caught up in trying to survive and make it that we quit doing what it takes to catapult you to the next level. And I'm not talking about ignoring your situation where you are. I'm just talking about doing what Abraham did. Consider not. The Bible says he considered not his own body now dead. In other words, he was not in denial, but on purpose he did not let his present state keep him from doing what it would take to get where God wanted him to go. Yes. Opportunities don't knock. They stand silently by and wait to be recognized. Yes. And normally go unnoticed because initially it looks like an unfair exchange. So most people let opportunities pass them by because at the time, an opportunity normally requires more than you think you ought to give for what it looks like it's going to return to you.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God.
But if I work this process, the things that I dream about, the things that that the Spirit of God has spoken to me to do can come to pass. But the devil works overtime to keep you in survival mode. Tonight, if I can do anything, I just want to pull you out of survival mode. Amen. Now, I don't know if I got time. Okay. God talks to me that day in the little 5x5 closet that was converted into an office. See, my office was a closet. We had this building we called the building Termite City. And it was a little old raggedy, run-down place. Laughing stock of the neighborhood there in Acres Home. People drive by and point at, laugh at me, say, that's where he is, your pastor. You mean he is over there? Yeah, that little raggedy church. That's where he is. Had my little office there. It was a closet, 5x5, so 5 feet by 5 feet ain't that big. It was only big enough for a half a desk, my chair. If you want to talk to me, I stand outside the door. Okay? So God tells me, son, I want you to do some things. I'm like, what do you want me to do, God? He says, okay, there's a church in town I want you to go to, and I want you to sit there and imagine yourself preaching to multitudes, preaching to big people, big crowds. That church was First Baptist Church on Katy. At that time, John Bassanio was the pastor. And I would go over there and sit there and imagine myself preaching in a big place. I'd do that several times a week. I'd go there and I'd sit there and I'd see myself sitting this, standing before multitudes. Watching the altar call where people would come to the altar. Then I'd leave, go back to my little raggedy church. I would do that for weeks. In the process, something happened. In the process, I became a big preacher. I became big on the inside. In the process, you know, I became uncomfortable with my present state. In the process, somehow I knew I didn't fit with a small church. Now, that's what God told me to do. Now, I couldn't explain it back then. But then I started this transformation. A whole transformation started taking place. I started recognizing folk that wanted to help me. I started understanding things about building big churches, building and ministering to people. You know, things would start changing in my thinking, what I could see around me. I mean, it was only because I was going, sitting in here. I'm telling you, that's all it was. I mean, they didn't tell me no special prayer to pray or nothing, but go and sit there and dream. So, this transformation began to take place because I started believing. I really started believing I could be. We didn't even have the term back then, mega church. That term was not formed back then. But I started believing I could be a pastor of thousands, that I could preach to multitudes. Now today you could set that church in this church. Amen. But now I couldn't explain it. Now I couldn't teach this. How am I going to tell you to go sit somewhere and then something going to happen? I can't, if I think I'm a flake. So, So God gave me revelation on it and told me that's how meditation takes. That's what meditation does. Now, me sitting in the church just kind of helped crystallize, or was a booster for me, because I was able to do like Abraham, get close to what I was going to become without it being mine yet. Amen. Okay, let me just... What? No, pastor, let me tell you what I used to do also. Everybody said, "Well, this broke Seth." Well, my broke Seth back then, I'd go and sit in Rolls Royces. No, I'm serious. I would go to the dealership now, and the man wouldn't even come out and talk to him. No, he wouldn't even come out and talk to him, because he saw what I drove up in. So you know, if I drove up in that, I couldn't afford one of them. I wasn't intimidated because I knew I wasn't going to always be where I couldn't afford it. So what am I doing? I was stretching myself back then. You see, so I'd sit there and I would smell the Rolls Royce. You know, I didn't take the step. I didn't ask the man to go test drive it or nothing like that because I understood. He already knew I didn't have it. I didn't go, you know, trip out because of the salesman. And go, how come you won't come wait on me? What's the matter? You think I'm black? I don't care. No, I mean, I didn't clown. I went as far as I could go. Oh, you listen to me. What I'm trying to tell you to do is this is a principle in the Bible. Lady B and I used to go and look at big houses. I mean, we go look at big houses when we was leasing a house. Houses that we could not afford at that time. And she would leave that with a confession saying, one day my house, I'll have a house, and it'll be like a model home. I know I may create some radical folk in here, and I want to. But then God began to give me the scriptures for what he was sharing with me, so I could really preach, because I couldn't preach it for a long time. Things was working for me, but I couldn't share them, because if I can't share it to you scripturally, you know I ain't gonna get up here and just talk, because I'm accountable to God. And if you can't see it scripturally, you ought not believe it. Amen. We have a belief system. Go to Romans chapter 7. We have a belief system. And that belief system works a certain way. I'm going to give you all the fast version of this. I didn't get no amen on the fast version. I'll come out here, you're going to give me something fast. No, okay. All right, watch this. Verse 22. I found a law that when I would do, are you there?
Yeah.
All right, verse 5 says, verse 22. I go through verse 22. It says, for I delight in the law of the Lord, of law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bring me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Underline law of my mind. The law, word law, really establishes a set order. So my mind functions in a set way. It's a set way my mind is trained, is engineered by God to function. And God has to work within the framework of how he created me to develop me. Amen. He works within that framework to develop me. So the Lord began to talk to me about how the mind works. Now, I didn't get this from Augmandingo. I didn't get this from a sociology class, a psychology class. I got it as the Lord dictated it to me. Amen. And the Spirit of God spoke to me and he said to me about how our belief system functions. I want you to listen real carefully. I want you to get this down. That our belief system, which controls the things that we see, say, do, and that sort of thing, has been affected by four components. Number one, my environment. Number two, it's been affected by repetitious information. Number three, credible other people who speak into my life. And number four, life experiences. You believe what you believe, think the way you think because of these four influences. Number one, my environment that I brought up in. Number two, repetitious information, things I hear on a continuous basis have an impact on what I believe. That's why they play commercials over and over and over and over and over and over. Number three, credible other people speaking into my life. I have been trained to accept words that come from people of authority that I respect. And number four is life experiences. Now, when I come to Jesus, those are the four areas he immediately wants to impact. My environment, he says, you come out from among them. You be separate from the world because he wants to put me in a different environment. Repetitious information, he says, in Psalms 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Then he also told Joshua to meditate in the word of God. How? Day and night. That's repetitious information. And then number three, credible other people. The highest authority, when you become a born again believer, becomes the word of God. So he impacts your life by changing these things that influence your belief system. The fourth thing is an experience. As you walk in him and as you walk in the things of God, it reinforces those things that you believe. So my belief system is impacted by those four elements. The next thing the Lord told me was how my belief system was structured. That in my belief system, I have, number one, a conscious mind. A conscious mind. That is how I consciously think things through. My conscious mind. But I also have a subconscious. A subconscious. That God has designed me that when I have thought through a process and worked the process multiple times, I'm able to carry out that process without a lot of conscious thought. That is my autopilot. You and I have been engineered by God with an autopilot. That is why when you first learn to drive a car, you're really focused. But after a while, you can drive the car with a lot of other things going on around about you because your autopilot takes over. Yeah. Amen. When you first cook a certain dish, you're all focused. You're reading the recipe. But after a while, you can cook that same dish without any focus. It's just a part of your autopilot. Third part of this belief system that God spoke to me that day was our conscience. C-O-N-S-C-I-E-N-C-E. My conscience. Now, my conscience is the most important element of this relative to my belief system. My conscience is what filters everything, and I make decisions based on what is stored in my conscience. It is the standard by which I judge everything. You've heard probably growing up, let your conscience be your guide. Well, that's not a good statement if a person had been brought up right, because their conscience could be a bad guide. Right. Amen, amen. Now, here is what is so important about this mental complex that I have, is that it is what helps me make decisions at a subconscious level. Automatic decision making, I make them automatically based on my mental complex, this conscience that I have. Secondly, what this conscience control or this mental complex controls is what I call my comfort zone parameters. My comfort zone parameters. I've been designed by God based on self-preservation to stay within where I am comfortable and feel safe. Whether that is in business, whether that is emotionally, or whether it is physically, for self-preservation, I have been designed by God to avoid pain and to avoid anything that seems to be destructive to me financially, emotionally, physically, you follow me, relationally or businessly, in a business situation. So my comfort zone parameters, they work this way. If I get beyond, let's say this is my comfort zone is set at this step. If I get beyond and go here, my comfort zone alarm goes off and says, you don't belong up there. Oh, no, you better move, better move, better move, better move. You can't make it up there. Then I shut down mentally until I make a decision to come back where I'm comfortable. The good thing about the comfort zone, however, is if I get below my comfort zone, you don't belong here. You're better than that. You can do better than that. It then is stimulated to find out a way to get me back to my comfort zone. That is controlled by this belief system that I have. The belief system also, and that, of course, that is why, you have the saying, you can take a person out the ghetto, put them in the suburbs, and then in a few days, a few years, they'll make the suburbs a ghetto. Has nothing to do with color, has all to do, because if I have a tolerance for filth, and you put me in a nice place, I'm going to make it filthy. Amen. Everybody say, stay with him. All right, watch this. Another good thing about this comfort, parameter is I call it my personal awareness system. My personal awareness system is controlled by this mental complex. Now, have you ever decided that you wanted a certain car? And then you start seeing that car everywhere you look. Because once you communicate to your belief system, this mental complex, something is important, it begins to spot everything in your environment that relates to it. Now, why is that important? It's important because there are resources all around you to help you get where you need to go, but you just don't see them. If you will learn how to communicate to your belief system something is important, it will then begin to identify things that are around you, things that you used to pass up, things that are around you that are important and that will help you get where you need to go. Amen. Now, those are only two factors I'm going to really deal with on this one. So what the Spirit of God told me to do was that I needed to learn how to reset the parameters of my comfort zone. Everybody say an experience. Makes the most potent impact on what you believe. Everybody say, stay with him, stay with him. All right. If I set this chair here, an engineer came and said this chair can hold the weight of any person, you sit in the chair and the chair buckle under your weight, what will you believe about the chair? You don't care what the engineer says. You don't care if other person who looked bigger than you sat here and inhaled them. All you know by your experience is that it did not hold you. Because that experience made the most potent impact on what you believe. Everybody say, stay with him, stay with him. Come on, how about 10 more minutes before I need to wrap this up. Now watch this, watch this. In life, we have several types of experience. This is what the Lord told me now. This is what the Lord told me. We have several types of experience. Number one is the real experience, something that I actually lived through. Number two is a soulish experience, which occurs on the canvas of my imagination in dreams, visions and dreams, in dreams. You got it? Or just in dreams. Hey, you ever dreamed that somebody was chasing you?
Yes, sir.
Right before they caught you, you woke up? You were sweating? Huh?
Yeah.
Why did it happen? Why did it happen? Because, see, your belief system really thought it was happening to you.
Yeah.
Your belief system does not easily distinguish between the various types of experiences.
Right.
So it really thought you were in trouble. So it told your heart, you got to be faster because you're running. You wasn't running. You were in the bed. And you know, when we run and we exhaust ourselves, we sweat. So there you were. You're perspiring. Well, why are you perspiring? You're still in bed. You haven't even moved. But yet your belief system has triggered your physiology so that your physiology really thinks this is going on. Because your belief system does not easily distinguish between the real and the unreal. Everybody say, stay with him.
Stay with him.
All right, all right. Now, the next third type of experience is what I call a spiritual experience. A spiritual experience is like the divine visions and the divine dreams. There are two types of those, you know, one initiated by God and one initiated by man. The one initiated by God is what we call vision and dreams. And when man initiates the spiritual experience, it's called meditation. Whenever God wanted to transform a person, he would give them a vision. Ezekiel was never in the valley of dry bones, y'all. He was never there. I know you heard preachers talking about Ezekiel in the valley. He was never physically there. The Bible says he was in the spirit. He saw all of this in the spirit. Why? Because God wanted to transform his belief system where he would have confidence to preach a message of unity. And as he saw the bones come together as a result of him preaching in the vision, he had courage when he woke up to go preach unity to a divided and disjointed nation. Same thing happened to Peter. Peter saw this big sheet coming down, all these beasts on there that were deemed unclean, heard the voice said, rise, kill and eat. And then Peter said in the vision, I don't eat anything unclean. God said, he rebuked you. Don't you ever call anything unclean, I've cleansed. So what's going on there is God is transforming his belief system because he wakes up because there's a knock on the door from the house of Cornelius because the Jews had said all of the Gentiles were unclean. He said, come preach to me. Peter goes and preaches and says, I never would have been here had I not had that vision that God says, don't you call anything unclean that I've cleansed. All right. So meditation does the same thing. Meditation allows you to see yourself in your future. On the canvas of your imagination, you're able to see yourself in the possession of that which you desire, That's what you are praying for. You are giving yourself a spiritual experience, and your belief system does not easily distinguish between what is real and what is seen on the canvas of your imagination. And when you do that day and night, day and night, day and night, and you see yourself, something happens on the inside of you. Your parameters change, because after seeing yourself and seeing yourself and seeing yourself at another state, your comfort zone level changes up here. Even though the comfort level is up here, you are naturally still here. But now your mentality, your body, everything about you now refocuses, recalibrates, and tells you, you don't belong here. You belong up there. And so that's how you move to the next level. So as I sat there in First Baptist Church and saw myself preaching to multitudes, even though I would leave and go back to my little church, I was recalibrating the comfort zone parameters. I saw myself here. You got to do the same thing. That's how I got the helicopter. That's how I got the jet. That's how I do anything I do. Before I go there, I see myself there on the canvas of my imagination. It works. And then something happens. You begin to spot things around you that help you get there. So you'll be amazed at when you pray how God already has positioned things around you to get you where you want to go. You just don't see them. But after meditation, oh, I had passed the place. When I bought the first helicopter, never bought the second one yet. I've been meditating on the next helicopter. I'm already there. Already see us with two helicopters, Angel 1 and Angel 2. Lady Bridget wants a helicopter so she can go to Beaumont. Yeah, yeah. And the other day we were at Lakewood, Pastor Doty, she got in agreement with us. Oh, yeah, she need one. So I start putting my faith out there. And I'm already there. So I said, when we bought the first helicopter, like we didn't bought the second. In my spirit, I'd already bought it. Amen. It's already manifested. See, now some of y'all said, wait a minute, didn't he tell us that we had a bad June? Didn't we receive an extra offer today to try to catch up? And did I hear him say he dreaming for helicopters? Well, if you're thinking that in your mind, you didn't hear nothing I've said these last few minutes. I'm not waiting for things to get better before I start dreaming for better now. So on the canvas of my imagination, it changes you. It changes you. No, it changes you. Everybody say it changes. I changed. I mean, I went through this whole change. I'm telling you, I changed. I changed because I saw myself differently. And people around me would say, you know, how can you be so happy? You pastor that little church on the corner, little raggedy rundown church. But that's not how I saw myself.
All right.
I would always tell them, you haven't seen what I see. I have visited my future on the canvas of my imagination. I wish I could take you where I see myself. I wish I could take you where I see myself. See, right now, I know God would not give us all these facilities. We're believing for a 50,000 member church. Oh, my God. We now have the facilities to accommodate it. Every time I land my helicopter, you know, over here at the north, of course, we got space. But one day, you know, this church was designed for me to land the helicopter on top of the building.
All right.
No, it's designed for me to land right over my study and come right down in my study into my office. Because one day, I'm not going to have room on the parking lot. wish I could take you in my dream. I wish I could take you there. Wish I could take you when I fly to the East Campus. See, I see what others don't see.
Yes.
I see Love City totally completed.
Yes.
Totally completed. And really, you know, live television every day from Love City on the network. Oh, you didn't get that. You didn't get that. No, on the network every day. Now, I didn't know we're going, I didn't know God had network planned. But I saw network, and then network came into it. Are y'all listening to me? I got to close now. We're gonna finish it next week. I don't want to keep y'all but hour and a half, but I ain't finished with this. I got to finish it up and show you how it all puts together, because you'll understand why God had me go sit in the building. Because I'm going to talk to you about Jacob. I'm going to take you into the story of Jacob and the spotted and speckled cows next week. You got to hear that. I don't think I ever taught it like I'm going to teach it. But I'm gonna because normally when I teach it, I'm closing out and I just hit it here and there. But I'm going to take you into it and show you the dynamics of how your faith is going to be boosted by your being exposed to other things. The reason I expose you to excellence, because I want you to get comfortable with excellence. No, I want you to, because see, something happens based on exposure. See, you began to feel, okay, I'm supposed to have something nice. Oh, yeah, I'm supposed to have something nice. You know, you come sit in a nice, comfortable chair. You're in a nice building. There is not a painted wall in this building. Not in this auditorium. Every wall in this building has wall covering on it. That was by design, because the average church got paint. But on purpose, we kicked it up a notch. So you come in and every wall, every place is wallpaper. What I'm doing, I'm exposing you to excellence, because I'm changing you on the inside where you are desiring better. I don't care where you are now. You could come out of a little stick house, you know, little shotgun house. But when you get here, the whole point is you got to want it. Everybody say you got to want it. And that's what God did that day for me. God offered me something that day. He showed me a plan. He offered it to me, but I had to want it in order for it to work. And that's what this is all about. You got to want it. Obviously, you want it because you came out tonight. And as I go to my close, it's just the order of God, how he always offers, but he waits for us to say yes. Jesus offered a crippled man at the Pool of Siloam a chance to walk. The man said yes to change his life. Jesus offered a woman at the well a chance to change her life and her reputation, and she said yes. Jesus offered a group of fishermen a chance to change the world, and they said yes. God offered Gideon a chance to become respectable, turn the course of his nation around, and he said yes. And one day when God offered Ivy Hilliard and Lady B a chance to make an impact in our generation, we said yes. Doesn't matter where you start. What matters is how you finish. Your homework next week is to find a picture of where you want to be. When you come back next week, we're going to show off pictures. This is where I see myself. This is the house I see myself having life. That's your homework. This is the kind of car I see myself drive. Now, I know you can't afford it right now. You can't afford the gas or the insurance. That's okay. That's all right. I mean, it's okay. I mean, that's our homework. Are you listening to me? Yeah. That's it. That's it. You know, right now, you know, I'm dreaming network. Dreaming network. And a guy called me the other day y'all know I preached about him this morning. You know, I preached about the guy who helped us. Well, he calls me this afternoon after I finish eating. He calls me and he's talking to me about TV stations we can buy. I found some TV stations, and listen, He was telling me, hey, I found this, I found this, I found this, and I found you some equipment, and I found this here, and I found this there. And I say, oh, you'd be amazed that right now, folk are almost giving these low-power television stations away, and I'm going to keep you abreast of them. I'm out of time. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I don't want to keep it that long. Father, we thank you for this word. It's followed on good ground. It always produces fruit. And God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you.